Rex Buddy, CEO of SIH. It is really good to see you, man. I don't get a chance to see you very often.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here again.
I can guarantee you, I think about you a great deal more often than I get a chance to talk to you about, especially, you know, since the election of Donald Trump. And it wouldn't matter whether Hillary, as I said yesterday with Senator Dick Durbin, it wouldn't matter whether Hillary or Donald had won the election. Something had to be done about the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is such a tough issue. The Affordable Care Act, you know, they just announced, Aetna announced yesterday that they're just pulling out, and, you know, United's pulled out, and the math is actuarially just isn't working in those insured products. They got a lot of adverse selection, and it's just blown up on them. And, you know, how are we going to bring balance to this thing is the real question.
Right. And it's interesting because how much of this, what we see driving this, is the price of treatment? Pharmaceutical drugs in particular. How much of pharmaceutical drugs taking out the collective hide of healthcare? Because it seems to be everywhere, and the prices sometimes are really shocking.
Yeah, I don't understand the pricing, you know, in certain aspects of healthcare and the leverage that people achieve and some of the bad stories that have gone on where companies have bought the license to certain drugs and then just juiced the price. I've got a grandchild that has a severe peanut allergy. And so they have to have a, you know, an EpiPen, and you know everybody knows about one-on with all that kind of stuff. That, you know, that's a part of the question, but it's also, you know, a lot of it is we got to take better care of ourselves, as you've been doing a wonderful job at. And you know, we as a society, we have to look at, we still spend a tremendous amount of money, you know, in the last few moments of life. And And, you know, how do we balance all of that stuff out? It's just not easy.
And I think if you're, matter of fact, U.S. News World Report had the top 23 jobs of 2017, and I believe either 19 or 20 of them were medical. Number one being best job in America, dentist.
Yeah, we're getting older as a country, and like it or not, things break.
And what's interesting out of those 23, the three or four that aren't medical, one of them is statistician. And my first thought is, how much you want to bet statistician actuary table insurance company?
Well, there's
a subcategory.
That's a lot of it.
Because the math of this is, it's confounding. But the fact is, I mean, we have literally a woman that chased a congressman down and I think rammed his car yesterday, mad about the Affordable Care Act in his town hall meeting and wants something done about the health care. This has driven people to a level of frenzy. I do not think that's hyperbole. And not whether they're sick or not, about what the future is when it comes to their health care. But you've got people like myself. I talked to a man yesterday. His wife had an aneurysm. She's not going to be able to go back to work. He's like, if it wasn't for the Affordable Care Act, we'd be really messed up here. While at the same time, some guy who works down at the plant making weapons or works at SIU, maybe his insurance isn't taken because he's a state government employee, or somebody who works at another company that's in a group is paying 20%, 30% of their salary for insurance.
Yeah, the premium costs. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of the higher deductible plans now. People get a lower monthly premium, but they have a $5,000 deductible. And I think a lot of times people don't understand the reality of that. And then when they do get sick, boy, all of a sudden they've got, you know, they've got big bills to pay. And, you know, it's complex because it's not like, you know, the big health systems aren't making big percentages on their bottom lines and things like that.
But they don't want to give that percentage up.
Well, no, because, you know, you have to replace yourself and replenish yourself. You have to pay your employees and give them pay raises. You have to buy, you know, pieces of equipment can cost $2 million. Or you know, the public wants private rooms now, for example. But it's $1 million a bed to create a private room. So there's the demands that people want. There's the realities of stuff. And, you know, one of the simplest and best ways to deal with this stuff is really focus on taking better care of yourself. But for years, our incentives being, you know, in the healthcare industry really was sick care, not health care. And now there are attempts in the Affordable Care Act and hopefully, you know, any changes that we make to really start to incentivize well care and helping people take better care of themselves. And I think when you combine that with higher deductibles and more personal responsibility, I think it's going to resonate more with people in the future.
You know, but the subtext of what I just heard you say, Rex, is daunting. It's like herding cats. You're going to get people to change their behavior for their better health. And, you know, young people, it's a sense of immortality that ends
right
at some point. Risky behaviors. Southern Illinois already in our healthcare assessment report shows statistically higher mortality rates when it comes to cancer, obesity, our desire for fried food, our higher statistical intake of cigarettes per capita, sexually transmitted diseases at higher per capita. I mean, we really have a lot of items. And here's the thing. Here you sit in Carbondale with this huge region around you with not a lot of health care.
Yeah.
You're kind of like the mecca of health care.
Well, we're very devoted to taking care of all the people in the communities we serve. That's our mission statement.
And a big area.
In a bit large region. Area. And see, well, I sit on one of the state councils and talking about how health care in the future and stuff. And one of our dilemmas, the state wants Medicaid to go to be a managed care principle. Now, when you have density of population, that's one thing. But when you have a fourth of the physical geography of the state with only a few tens of thousands of lives in the Medicaid program, it's hard to do that because it's spread out so far. And people don't think about that when they're making these broad policies because they make them based on where they see the population centers,
right,
as opposed to the rural centers where everybody's kind of scattered around.
And this is part of the you mentioned Medicaid because that's a hot potato. And,
yes.
And that's not a hot potato. It's a radioactive nugget.
Yeah,
and people haven't gotten it. The radioactivity comes in the form of the numbers because under the Quinn administration, the state of Illinois went all in with the Affordable Care Act and Medicaid. They went all in. They put all the chips on the table. And now the prospect of that change. And the math does not add up.
Yeah,
a bottleneck coming up financially.
Yeah, one of the things that's really troublesome is, and I struggle with this because by nature I'm a pretty conservative guy, but some of the proposals will weaken the Medicaid program, and you know, weakening health care for the most needy among us just doesn't feel right.
I put it in a different way, Rex, that the policy of it sucks to be you is not a good policy.
Right, I agree with that.
And you just look at somebody and say, well, sucks to be you, and turn around and walk away.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think people feel that way either.
No, and I don't know how you're going to answer that when you have to answer for your actions in life. Doing things like that. One of our problems in Illinois, one of the things that's so scary about giving Illinois a block grant, I think anybody's got to be concerned about giving Springfield, you know, here's a block of money, good luck. But in Illinois, for example, we get paid half of what the facilities in Missouri get paid. And generally, any state touching Illinois pays for Medicaid.
Why?
At least 50% more than what Medicaid does.
Why? Why do we?
Well, our fundamental structure of our Medicaid program going back to in the state, going back to the 70s, just hasn't been modernized. Certain states are doing some pretty interesting stuff. Indiana has a two-tiered program that as a patient, if you do certain things health-wise,
right,
you can access the higher tier of care and pick up vision care and dental care. And they are seeing changes in people's behavior,
yes,
because of that.
Right.
And creating incentives not to use the emergency room, but to, you know, to schedule your visit with the doctor and those kinds of things. It can be done, but it requires some creativity. And that's one of the arguments for letting the states experiment. But the problem is, in Illinois, we're locking ourselves into an untenable situation.
Yeah, but
situation.
See, Rex, you use the word creative and for the items that you just mentioned. Other people, you know, take some pretty dangerous shortcuts, too.
Well,
see,
yeah.
And see, I like that out of the box, because usually somebody says, oh, creative means you found a new way to screw me over. I mean, that's that internal conversation that guy has that very definitely doesn't say out loud. But, you know, the Medicaid, the other issue, which I do think is interesting because I've been watching very closely all through this period of how we respond. And I've always come to the point where people are usually dissatisfied just as a rule because they're sick. But with Medicaid, 80% of your reimbursement starting 2018 will be based on customer satisfaction, or is it a little bit later, and those customer satisfaction, patient satisfaction numbers will probably be generated out of this year's actions.
Well, there's going to be quality and patient sat are going to have a big influence on Medicare reimbursement and what have you. And, you know, honestly, I believe it's long overdue, because in the past, you could do something wrong and you weren't there. You know, you didn't have direct accountability for your actions. Or if someone came into a hospital and got an infection and stayed longer, you actually got paid more money. That's just, you wouldn't tolerate that in any other aspect of your life. Now, it's scary because somebody just may have unreasonable expectations, but it's all relative, too. All hospitals have those patients, or all healthcare systems have those patients.
That's interesting.
And so it does, unless there's some, an anomaly in your society, it
or
does,
somebody lies.
Right. It does balance itself out. If you do a good job, ultimately, you'll get the results that you need.
It's interesting because I'm so in the bottle. I only think about you, and I realize it's not just somebody here that can be dissatisfied. So the numbers are inherent.
Right.
Everywhere.
Yeah, so, you know, that's everywhere. So it does balance.
Thanks for that, by the way.
Pardon?
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's an educational moment.
Sure.
It's not just you that are dissatisfied. Dissatisfied people everywhere.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
And so that it all adds out. Talk to me about the Cancer Center. More and more, I find my friends go there. And what I find interesting is almost the seemingly casual nature. I'm going to the Cancer Center for my treatment today, and then I'll be back at work, and then I'll see you then. I'm not sure how to interpret it.
Yeah.
I interpreted it as a good thing.
You know, it's interesting. This is the proverbial double-edged sword. The Cancer Center's been a massive success. And the double-edged sword, of course, is that we need a cancer center because there's just so much. The incidence of cancer in southern Illinois is alarmingly high. But we figured when we built that place, it would be good for about 5 years. And now after 2 years, we're bursting at the seams, and we're actually going to have to expand the cancer center. It has been so well received in the marketplace. And what's interesting is I've had numerous stories about patients who've come up to me and said, and some of them are physicians, I have cancer, and I went to the cancer center and got my diagnosis and my treatment plan, but, you know, I went and got a second opinion. I went to St. Louis, or I went to Johns Hopkins, or I went to, you know, MD Anderson, and they gave me the exact same diagnosis, the exact same plan.
Now
so I'm having my treatment in Southern Illinois.
You know how big this is right now, what you just said.
I absolutely.
The new research talking that 83% of first diagnoses are incorrect.
Right.
83% came out 2 weeks ago. Good research, too. Large numbers. I think Duke. Could be wrong. And my first thought was, wow.
Yeah, I didn't see that study, so you have me at a disadvantage there. But, I mean, we don't see stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what people are finding out
study.
Is that we're doing a really good job. We've got talented physicians and talented nurses and talented, you know, mid-level providers and unbelievably dedicated people. And when you go in that place, there's a calmness and almost a spiritual nature to that building. It's just a special place.
It's interesting. You could consider it quiet, and I consider it focused, that there's a singular
right.
mission, and everybody knows what it is, so there's no confusion, so everybody's moving in the right direction. My internal body, my internal vocabulary calls it alignment. I want the left front tire and the right front tire to be going in the same direction all the time. It makes me fuel efficient. It gives me better control. My car operates better, and I think that's a good metaphor, and that's what I see among the staff. Everybody's in alignment.
Well, they certainly are, I mean, incredibly dedicated to taking care of people. You know what? Last time I was out there, I was talking to Jennifer Badu, who's our product line leader
right.
for cancer, and I asked her, so what are we doing to take care of our people, too? Because they day in and day out are dealing with, you know, successful stories, but they also deal with a lot of really sad stories. And, you know, how do we take care of those people, and how do we worry about them too so that they can continue to do their job?
Compassion fatigue.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's tough. But the things that go on out there, we get people that have no hope in their life. And not only do we help them medically, but our social workers and our case managers help them socially and get them hooked up with things so they have resources and, it's just, you know, it's doing God's work out there.
It's interesting. One of my friends who didn't make it before they died, they said, I just hate it that it owns me and that all the people want to talk to me about
right.
anymore.
Yeah, I had my own.
I get that there's this other.
I had my own experiences with that, you know, with losing my wife to cancer and having to take her back and forth to St. Louis and some of those kinds of things. And good comes out of any situation in life. They say, so, you know, I've struggled with that, to be honest. But
right.
I certainly, when I see what's going on out there, I can't adequately express about how proud I am of those people and how hard they work. And not just the cancer center. You know, the heart program is first class. The neurosurgical program.
This new thoracic chemotherapy that I had on right. the air 2 weeks ago or so like that, where you put the chemotherapy drugs in the abdomen and,
right.
and then swash around, rinse and repeat. I constantly, you know. But I enjoy these things because I enjoy science, and I like the cutting edge of technology, and I love human innovation, and I like being number one and having that stuff here. It makes me excited about being a Southern Illinoisan. But I would really like to come to these more enlightened, psychological, flashbulb moments that give me empathy for my fellow human being without having to suffer the psychological discomfort.
Yeah, you know, I mean, last year, for example, and one of the things I love about our organization and our board is so supportive of this, last year we had $100 million worth of uncompensated care. And
do people get this about not-profit, not-for-profit, and that how much goes into the...
I think it's confusing for some folks, and even if you're a not-for-profit, you still have to make money in order, you know, particularly a healthcare system. You know, MRIs are expensive. The equipment's expensive, the facilities, and having adequate physicians and staff, and those things take resources. The key is, do you take the profits that you have and reinvest them back in your community to make your community better? We do lots of community benefit programs, parish nursing, school nursing, $100 million worth of uncompensated care to Medicaid, and people with, and there's still a lot of people with no insurance. And you know what? That's what it's about. That's why we're here.
Thankfully, because we are living in the middle of almost a healthcare desert.
You know, it's I'm proud of the fact that we've been able to keep people home.
It's interesting that we talk about what we have as a resource and for the people who are sick, but also the part we play in the economy. I mean, I saw a new statistic about a week ago that healthcare is like 20% of the economy now.
It's a big percentage. And you know,
I think I saw a sixth maybe.
And that's a little scary at some levels too in terms of supporting
that. And I would think scary for you.
Well, yeah, because you worry about one of the solutions will always be to cut what we pay the providers to provide care initially. And there's a break point when you can only do that for so long, and then you start losing providers. And you know, the problems in the state of Illinois, there are providers now that make state employees pay their bill ahead of time because of the state financial crisis. And we are dedicated to not doing that, but, you know, it's a lot of money the state owes us.
I was told, and I was given a name last night, that there's a cancer treatment center in St. Louis. Cancer treatment center starts with an S, I believe it is, and was told that we're not accepting Illinois government insurance if you're a government employee any longer.
Yeah, that's happening in a variety of places. And I don't know all the details, but I know it is becoming more and more and more prevalent.
Yeah, I went to a doctor, a friend of mine's office, and where any other day there'd be every single chair with a mom and a baby on the lap. Last time I walked in, there were three people. And every other time I'd ever been in the office, every chair had somebody in it.
Yeah, I feel for these people that the state employees are scared too, because
right.
they haven't done anything. They just, you know, they're working hard and leading their lives. And all of a sudden now they're getting stuck in the middle of this thing.
Got to come back sometime.
Oh,
I mean, I could go on for another 30 minutes.
Oh, I know.
Minutes,
I'd love
so
talking.
Zero problem.
I love talking.
And I love learning about this. And I find as time goes by that this resource has to be, it's like water. It's like potable water. You've got to protect it. You've got to protect the resource. You start kicking it around. You start tinkling in the pool. Bad things happen.
You have to nurture it, and you have to stay on top of it. And it's a tough business, but it's great work.
It is, because I like being like, you know, weird how you kind of, at a certain point in life, you kind of go, you know, this is really not so bad after all.
Yeah.
You know, you disenfranchised sometimes, and I know I go through the periods of time where I'm like, yeah, as long as I die before my dog, I'm happy. Right? I mean, I just have a bad day. I'm going, as long as I'm alive.
We start every meeting with good stories, because it is a tough business. And one of the things that I ask my team to do is recite one good story, so that we always keep that in our psyche as we deal with all the issues we have to deal with.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's about. It's about taking care of people.
My friend who's a geriatric physician, he says, all my patients die.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to hear it in his voice to really get it.
Yes.
I tried to get there close. He says, all my patients, I don't like it. I don't want to do this anymore.
Right. I know. It's hard. It's very hard.
You get that. Rex, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's always a
pleasure.
Come
back, all right?
I will. Absolutely love it.